Mark chapter 9. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. At this point, the disciples can't imagine that the rising from the dead is anything more than another one of Christ's parables. And I certainly sympathize, because at that point, they really had no idea. In their minds, he is the Christ, he is the Messiah. And they were still looking at him as the one who was going to deliver Israel in a very national sense. In a sense that he was going to deliver the nation from the oppression of the Romans. That he was the one who was going to put down the heathen and set things right in the earth right at that time. And we still look to Christ like this. But they had no idea that Christ had come to sacrifice himself for the sins of many, and that he should die and rise from the dead. And so to them, this is a mysterious thing he's saying, because it doesn't make any sense with what they know prophetically of the Messiah, and it doesn't make any sense with what they know of Jesus in the flesh, meaning they believe he has all this power, and therefore, who could hurt him? That he should die. Remember, in the last chapter, Jesus started to say that he would be crucified and suffer many things, and Peter began to rebuke him. And they still don't understand. It still hasn't, that was still, even though Christ rebuked Peter back and said, get thee hence, Satan, it didn't sink in. They still really didn't understand what this was all about. So here comes this account of the transfiguration from Mark, in which Jesus, it is prefaced by this statement in verse 1, 6 days previous. Now, these accounts are usually given in the same context. Therefore, there's probably some connection between the two. Meaning that he says, some of them stand here who will not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God coming with power. And then this happens, the transfiguration. So there's a reasonable assertion to say that Jesus was speaking of the event that followed, meaning the transfiguration, that they would see the kingdom of God come with power in Christ's transfiguration into a spirit body, as it is called by the Apostle Paul. He says there's a physical body and a spiritual body. But we use that term because we don't have another word for it, because it's a different kind of body. It's transformed into a powerful form. Though, as we saw in the resurrection, it is still very much like the original body. But things distinguish it. The shining, you know, the glowing and all that. That kind of stuff is set to distinguish that body from the normal body. And that he had been changed, as it says, transfigured. Really means transformed. And the kingdom of God, if it is in nothing else, meaning there is an earthly change that's going to come about. The kingdom of God is going to come to the world, change the whole world, change the world order. That's what they were looking for. But Jesus was also preaching a kingdom of God that would come and change men. Change them from within to be righteous and holy before God. But also that they would be changed from within, and from within it changing to a change without, meaning the resurrection and the resurrection body. That is also the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the resurrection of the body, if nothing else. The resurrection is the kingdom, because that is how you will experience the kingdom of God ultimately. Ultimately, the kingdom of God, the experience of the kingdom of God, is in the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ foreshadows the resurrection of all flesh. Some to the judgment of life, and others to the judgment of destruction. But for those who it is the resurrection of eternal life, the kingdom of God is the resurrection. But it's, you know, the kingdom of God is multifaceted. Many ideas. That's why there's a lot of parables about the kingdom of heaven is like unto this, the kingdom of God is like unto that. And it's like unto so many different things. You know, like we have the Constitution of the United States. I mean, our government takes up several documents just to explain what it is. And even that doesn't fully take in what that is, what that country is. I mean, the country is more than the Constitution. And so the kingdom of God is more than the constituent parts. It is more than the preaching of the kingdom. It is more than the resurrection from the dead. It is more than an earthly dominion. It is also within you. It is in your hearts. It is a dominion over the hearts of men, to turn them from unrighteousness and sin, to turn them towards God in holiness and godliness, and turning our backs on the sin and wickedness of this world. That is where the kingdom of God is. That's where it begins. In us, at least. I mean, God, of course, it begins from God, as all things begin from God. But from our experience, it begins in our hearts. Migrating outward to the resurrection of the body and to the change of the whole world. So this transfiguration is certainly a coming of the kingdom of God in power. It is not the whole coming of the kingdom of God. It is not the establishment of the kingdom of God, but they see the kingdom of God come. And also the one John who is standing here actually sees the kingdom of God established in the earth when he is transported to the future in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, he sees the kingdom of God established on the earth in power. So however you want to interpret that, if you say, well, that's not good enough, meaning, well, this isn't good enough. It's obviously what was intended, if it's not good enough. But if it's not good enough, there's also the book of Revelation, in which John saw the kingdom coming with power. So this isn't, as some people have said, this is some sort of mistake or some sort of loose end, or it betrays something.